Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Hosea. We've been in a Sunday school study of the book of Hosea. Hosea is going to be the very first of what we would call the minor prophets. There are 12 minor prophets, and the reason why they're called minor is because these are smaller books of the Old Testament, but even though they may be minor in size, they are major in message. In the book of Hosea, as we are exploring it, there's 14 chapters, and the first three, God is using a human family who's real and historical to reflect what is going on in God's heart and love for his people, Israel. One of the things about God is because God is invisible, right? None of us are seeing a physical God. We know he's real, and there's evidence. But God is invisible. Because of that, we can't see his facial expressions. We can't see his body posture. We can't see the tears coming from his eyes. And so sometimes it's very hard to put emotions to someone you can't see, to put feelings to someone that you don't sense. So God has used a human family to illustrate his brokenheartedness. So that way, in the face of a human, we can see the true brokenheartedness of his people. In the first three chapters, we're introduced to Hosea and his family. Hosea is married to a lady by the name of Gomer, and in the middle of their marriage, unfortunately and brokenheartedly, she decided to step out on him. And not just step out, she left her husband and left their three kids to go live with other men. And we can see Hosea's brokenheartedness as he still loved his wife, so much so that when she needed supplies, he would give her supplies. So much so that when she is committing adultery and committing idolatry, he has still made himself available. Finally, when she is used up, finally, when everything is broken in her life, she is sold as a slave on the auction block, and Hosea purchased her, which is a picture of God's redeeming love, that he loved us as many times as we've broken his heart, as many times as we've gone away from him, as many times as we willingly said, God, stay out of my life. He still came after us, and he still loved us. And at the very bottom, when we're worthless, he died on the cross for you and for me. And the book of Hosea shows God's love for us. And we could see, just as we could see Hosea's face, the brokenheartedness, the hurt. We're able to put a human picture to God and see his brokenheartedness, to see his hurt, to see his tears over a people he loves so much, who is turned away from him. As we move to chapter 4, we move away from the human picture of Hosea and his wife, and the remaining chapters deal with God and his people. And speaking more, as God has already set up this, gave us this human picture, and now he is giving a brokenheartedness report, observation, towards his people, Israel. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we look at chapter 4, Hosea and chapter number 4. The Bible says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field and with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, with the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are they that strive with the priest. Therefore shall they fall in that day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. I have rejected thee, and thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and shall not have enough, and they shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because that they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the people of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under the oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they have sacrificed with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet not let Judah offend. And come not ye into Gilgal, neither go up into Bethaven, nor swear the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour, and they have committed whoredoms continually. Her rulers with shame do love, give ye. The wind hath bound up her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, will you mark one of the most frightening phrases in the Bible, especially when you understand the context? The book of Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 17. Notice the whole verse where it says, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. With the Lord's help, we're going to explore chapter 4 in this book of Hosea, that Ephraim is joined to his idols. Now, as God has now changed the tone and the tenor, he's moved from the actual family of Hosea and has now moved to his relationship with his people, Israel. We could see a brokenhearted God. As we read this and we could hear God's voice, we could see the tears streaming on his face. He is brokenhearted of the condition of his people and where they are at. And it shows here the justification for the judgment upon the people. Ephraim is the dominant tribe of the northern kingdom. That Israel, the northern kingdom, is referred to as Israel. It is also referred to as Ephraim, as one of the largest predominant tribes. And so when we see Ephraim, it's referring to the northern kingdom of Israel. For those of you who might need to catch up, that God had brought his people to himself and put into the land. They established a kingdom, and the first king was a king after their own heart by the name of King Saul. Afterwards was a king after God's own heart by the name of David. David had a son, the wise King Solomon, and Solomon, towards the end of his life, began to make foolish decisions as he turned away from God, and his son Rehoboam made more foolish decisions, and God broke up the kingdom into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel right away established themselves that they were going to live separate from the Bible. And so instead of going to Jerusalem and going to the house of God like they were supposed to, What happened is that they established in two different places of Dan and Bethel, places where they put golden calves. And they said, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. What it was an idol, and it was not true. They twisted the Bible and told people, you don't need to read the Bible anymore. You worship this God however you want, and you're fine. Unfortunately, they were not fine. They were not fine at all. This is why God says, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Leave him alone. What had happened is that Israel had gotten to the place where they said, we're not going to have God in our life. We have our own way of worship. We have our own way of doing things. We don't want God. We don't want the Bible telling us what to do. We are fine as we are. And God says, if that's what you want. And the worst thing that could ever happen in anyone's life is for God to leave them alone. And what a horrible sentence. You understand, we have a loving God who takes care of us all the time. Someone would say, I don't need God. Well, enjoy the air you're breathing. That's his. Amen. Enjoy the life that he has provided for you. That's his. He's given you those things. How foolish it is for someone to declare, I don't need God in my life. And when you remove God out of your life, you're also removing his blessings. You're removing his favor, you're removing his goodness, and you're removing him working and building you into a person that you ought to be, rather than going, as the Bible says, a backsliding heifer, just going around and just there. In this, we find an important principle found throughout the Bible and an important principle in life. If you've ever looked at our country and said, what happened? Where did we end up this? We look at the news and we look at things. There are many of us older folks that said, when we were in school, we didn't deal with these problems. But you look today, what happened? What is the answer? What's the explanation? Let me explain what happened. That what we find here is a principle is that immorality is first preceded by idolatry. Immorality is first preceded by idolatry. What does that mean? That means when God is not in his rightful place, nothing else is in his rightful place. Whenever you see people who are engaging in sins, especially sexual sins, it starts off by not having God in his rightful place. Amen. When people are stuck in pornography, it is because God is not in his rightful place. If God was in his rightful place, these things that are happening in people's lives could not be there. I cannot sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, while I'm currently also engaged in immorality. Amen. It does not work that way. I cannot flirt with a woman who is not my wife while I'm thinking about the redemption of Jesus Christ and all that he died for me on the cross for. It does not work. That in order for people to be engaged in these other activities, it is because God first is not in his rightful place. That's why when we try to counsel people, the first thing we tell them, class, what do I tell people the first thing they need to do?
Read your Bible.
Why? Because God needs to be put in his rightful place. I cannot work on the pornography, the drinking, the adultery, until God is first in his rightful place. You understand? You could try to fix the activity, but it doesn't change the heart, which is the reason why the activity is engaged in that. This is what we find here in the country of Israel. And this is what we find in our country, is that God has been removed from his rightful place. You understand that ever since they took prayer out of schools in the 60s, that the statistics of immorality, drugs, all of these other things have skyrocketed 500%+. The statistics are staggering. And people look and say, what happened? We could trace when God is taken out of his rightful place. Ephraim has turned to his idols. Let him alone. I hear people say, why is God allowing this to happen? You've misunderstood. You asked God to remove himself from the equation, and God did. And this is what you get. Ephraim has turned to his idols. Let him alone. When someone says, I don't want to listen to the Bible. I don't want to hear God. I don't want God. And I don't want God part of my life. Be careful. You don't know what you're asking for. I want to have my fun. I want to enjoy my life. I don't want rules. I don't want the Bible. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. I want to live my life however I want. You go ahead and say that enough and God says, okay, leave them alone. Now you're in a worse spot because you remove God's blessings. You remove God's protection. You could remove the other things that God has given you out of his love. And by the way, God is brokenhearted the whole time. Why is God brokenhearted? Because the whole reason why he created man in the first place was for fellowship. God wants friends. And when people say, I don't want to read my Bible, they're saying, I don't want to hang out with you, God. I don't want to spend time with you, God. Then people wonder why they're so lonely. We all know people that could be in the middle of a crowd and be so lonely. You know, God is a satisfaction. And people don't realize, I don't want God part of my life. They don't realize what that means. And we have people who are lonely. We have people who are brokenhearted with no comfort. We have people who have no relief. We have people who spend all of their time with noise around them because they cannot be alone with their thoughts. All of that is because they said, I don't want God. I want my own way. And God says, leave them alone. And people are so brokenhearted, miserable, and they don't have to be. We understand that it starts off before any of these other things, before people start trying to fill in that and try to put noise and things in their life. Why do they put those in there? Because they first rejected God and asked God not to be a part of their life. That immorality is first preceded by idolatry. When God is not in his rightful place, all of these other things now are allowed in our life. As we examine the text of Hosea chapter 4, notice there's a couple things we want to notice. First of all, the witness God gives concerning the land. Notice with me in verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Why? Why does God have a controversy with the land? Because there is no truth. Because there's no mercy. Because there's no knowledge of God in the land. There's no truth. There's no mercy. And there's no truth because there's no knowledge of God. We live in the information age. We have lots and lots of information. Very little knowledge. Very little knowledge. A lot of information. We have so much information, we can't even process the information that we're overloaded with every day. So many things going on that we can't even discern what's true or not. We just have information overload. But no knowledge of God and no truth. We are the most informed civilization of all time, but no truth. And we want to keep God out of our equation, out of our life. We want him in a box. We want him put right there. And then we wonder, why are things going wrong? Because there is no truth. What we've witnessed in our land is a hardening of a generation. We get to the place where people say, well, there's no absolute truth. That truth is determined with what I feel is right. And you want to know what a consequence of that is? When people decide I could take a gun and I determine it's right for me to shoot people. You know, none of those school shooters ever think they're the bad guy. They think they're justified in what they do. They go back and they will defend their actions. This is why I thought I was right by performing this action. There's no truth. No God. And so people have brought on abuse and violence and cruelty because we have no truth and therefore no mercy. What we see here is a consequence, even in our own nation. We can now start seeing ourselves inside of the pages of Scripture and seeing, why did we end up this way? Because there is no knowledge of God. And when there's no knowledge of God, all of these other things are allowed. Notice, if you don't mind, as we look in verse number 2. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they broke out, and blood touches blood. Therefore, so because of this, therefore the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field and with the fowl of the heaven, and yea, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. We could see a land that is affected horribly because they took the knowledge of God out, where people have no desire to have God in the thing. If they do have a vision of God, it's like Israel. Israel didn't deny God. They just didn't worship him the way that God said to worship him. I could worship God however I see fit. They don't realize the consequences. Ephraim has turned to his idols. Let him alone. People say, I don't want the knowledge of God. God says, let him alone. And the consequences of that is we have a people who have no mercy. No mercy. And that's not a land that is good to live with. And there's consequences for being a land of no mercy. We see the witness that God gives concerning the land, but we also see the wickedness of the people. The wickedness of the people. Who does God point an accusation to? Who does God blame for this? Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 4. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore they shall fall in the day, and the prophet shall also fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Here what we see is that God singles out the priest, those that should be the leaders. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says that how the priest and the leadership should deal with controversy and conflicts and how to solve them, but they don't. What happens is that we get to the place where even people who call themselves biblical leaders are not pointing people up to God anymore. They're pointing themselves to themselves. Jeremiah says this twice in Jeremiah 6 and Jeremiah chapter 8. Did they heal the hurt of, or they healed the hurt of my daughter slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace? Then the Bible continues in those both of those passages, therefore thou hast a whore's forehead. They have hardened themselves. That what happened is that because the leadership is saying, you do whatever you want. It's fine. You worship God however you want. You're good. You don't need to change your ways. You could just live however you want, and God still loves you. Which, by the way, they take a truth and they twist it. Does God still love us? Yes. But he loves us enough to correct our behavior. He doesn't want us to continue on. Any parent who watches their kid pushing someone and bullying a kid at the playground should love their kid enough to say, don't do that. Amen. Instead of, well, I love you. You express yourself however you see fit. That's dangerous. It's not express yourself however you see fit. Just like any Walmart kid who starts screaming in the cart and screaming and throwing themselves on the floor in the middle of Walmart. It's not acceptable behavior. You don't say, well, you just go ahead and express yourself. No, it's not an appropriate way to express yourself. Because I love my child, I'm going to correct that behavior because that's not, you say, well, that's cute when a kid. It's not cute when it's a kid, but it's not cute because they're going to become an adult with that trained behavior. Amen. You like adults do that? Yeah. Have you been to Walmart? You watch And it's all over the place to watch people throwing meltdown fits because McDonald's didn't put enough salt on their fries. We watch people in these behaviors, and it's because people who are leaders have not corrected behavior and said, this is not appropriate. This is not how to behave yourself. This is not how to treat yourself. And God blames the leaders for it. That means parents need to be parents. Pastors need to be pastors. Bosses need to be bosses. With the idea that we cannot allow behavior to go on. God blames them. That's scary. How did we get the country that we got today? Parents stop being the parents. Many of you know that I'm a police chaplain, and so I'm a police chaplain of 13 police departments. And let me tell you, the police officers have the same message the pastor does. Be the parent. 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 Who's responsible for our country? Leadership not being leaders. Parents not being parents. And so we've grown up now with parents not being the parents, and we have spoiled adults who do not know how to adult, who do not know how to have proper conflict management. You know, you can have a conflict with people. The absence of conflict is not the answer. Amen. It's how to work with people you disagree with. How to move past something so we don't have to melt down. We now have two political parties who are so different that they can't even get along anymore. Amen. Because no one's taught them how to resolve conflicts and listen. Amen. We've learned to, oh, I don't like this comment, block. Now I don't have to deal with them. Yeah. They deal with the absence of conflict and thinking that's peace in the world. No, you're never going to have everyone agreeing with everything.
Amen. Amen.
You have to learn how to live with people you disagree with in a way where you're not threatening each other.
Amen.
We live in a place where neighbors don't even know neighbors anymore. Because we don't want conflict. Mm-hmm. We're now at the holiday season. I've had all kinds of prayer requests in the last couple months of someone saying, I have a family member that hasn't been wanting to be part of our family, and they decide they're going to join. Please pray. I'm like, how do you want us to pray? Well, pray that they don't show up. Is that the right answer?
No.
See, we go back to absence of conflict instead of learning how to work with people. You see, they're destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Notice with me verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, that wasn't just my saying. This is what the Bible said.
Amen.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest in me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. And I will forget. I will also forget thy children. Ephraim has turned to his idols. Let him alone. God says, listen, I have given you a plan of action. You want to know how to raise your kids? Found in here.
Yep.
You want to find out how to have conflict resolution? It's found in here.
Yep.
You want to learn how to be a better communicator and a better listener? It's found in here.
Mm-hmm.
God's given us how to survive life in here. Mm-hmm. But you know, people come up with a better idea. I don't want to do what the Bible says. I have a better idea. That's where we ended up at. People had a better idea than doing it the Bible way. People had a better idea of raising kids. Did that work out?
No.
I have a better idea of how to be a leader. Well, did that work out?
Nope.
It's called the last election is proof of that. People don't know what's going on. When things don't line up, people have to go with their own ideas. And my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I have a better idea than what God had. And we could see it doesn't work. We now live in a country with two or three generations that had a better idea than God. and it didn't work out. My people are destroyed from life. What we're finding here is that this is a book that was written in approximately 750 BC. If you're recalculating, that is 2,750 years ago. God knew what he was talking about all that time. And we've had the plan of action. And we rejected it. God knew what he's talking about. When we read Hosea, it's almost like looking at newspapers today. Or we don't do newspapers. Looking at Facebook posts. Yep. It's exactly it. And we go, what happened? My people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. They said, I have a better way of doing it. God, leave me alone. You don't tell me what to do. I'll do it my way. And God says, all right. And as a consequence, he says, and I will forget your children. You told me that you had a better idea and to stay away from raising your kids. So good. Help yourself. And we get to see what that looks like. And it is not good. We don't want God removed from our children. Remember what I said before? People are asking about school shootings and all these things. How come God hasn't intervened? He just said, why? Ephraim has turned to their idols. Let them alone. He says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. They thought they could do it better. They had a better plan. I'll forget your children. You want to raise your kids the way you see fit? This is what you get. Now, is it because he's a mean God? No. He gave us what we wanted. We just found out we didn't want it. By the way, there's an answer to that. Biblical leadership should act like biblical leadership. Find what the Bible says. God knew what he was doing the first time. Stop coming up with your own way and line up. Put God in his rightful place. Once again, my first step in any solution in anyone's life is to. And if they won't even do that, the rest of this is moot. Because they're not looking for knowledge. They don't want to find out what God has to say about it. They don't want to find God. And they get the consequences of it. You see, there's a simple solution. We just don't like it. Notice there's a third thing. The warning given to Judah. As we go down, we could see all the horrible things that happen inside of Israel going down from 7 all the way down to 16. And you could read that on your own. And we could just see that's like our newspapers. It's what's going on. It's horrible. But notice, if you don't mind, in verse 17, God now talks to Judah. And he says, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. In order to illustrate this, notice what God gives a picture of in verse 16. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large area. Here is a picture that God is going to let Ephraim loose in a large place, like a lamb lost, bleeding, and crying out for help. They wanted their freedom. So if you can imagine God taking care of a lamb. Now, let's back up. For those of you who are not raised up on a farm or a ranch, sheep are the most dumb, helpless creatures that ever existed. When they fall on their back, they can't even flip over. They need help. They're dumb. Many of you have seen the clip that I threw out of the sheep that they pull out of the crack, and as soon as it gets out of the crack, it runs and jumps back into the crack. They're dumb. They're helpless. They cannot find food on them for themselves. They can't even find their own way home. They are dumb. I mean, a cat can find its way home. A dog can. A sheep can't. They are dumb creatures. No wonder God's favorite illustration for him and his people is the shepherd and the sheep. Because we're dumb. We keep doing the same thing over and over. And so God puts this illustration that God has a small pen for the sheep. But there he's able to watch the sheep and protect the sheep, and to make sure that the sheep is fed and taken care of, and that its needs are met, and that it's not in danger. God can keep a watch over it, but it's in the pen. But the sheep says, I don't want to be in the pen. I don't want to be in here. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to be stuck in here. This is too confining. I want my freedom. I want the open road. And so the sheep finally gets his way and he gets out of the pen. And it gets out in the open range and it wanders away and now it's lost, helpless, crying for help, scared, not knowing how to get back. You want it out, this is what you get. I used to have a very smart cat, the smartest cat in the world, the most wonderful cat in the world, and someone stole him. I mean, this was a cat that we would get Christmas presents from the neighbors because it killed so many mice in the neighborhood. It was so famous. Every neighbor knew the cat. We would just go out and call its name and it would come home. Best cat world. Well, that cat was kidnapped. We tried to replace it, and the first cat we got was dumb. I love the cat, but it is dumb. We've had it for these years and still doesn't know its own name. It's dumb. It is stupid. It's so stupid that, you know, if we know that the cat says, I want up there. Can you lift me up there? And then you try to pick it up. It screams and hollers that you're picking it up. So in order to replace the dumb cat, we would get another cat to maybe kind of put it up. Nope, this one here screams because she prayed. I want a cat that's loud. This one's too quiet. I want one that's loud. So we got one that screams, and he's also dumb. He thinks he wants outside all the time, but he's not an outside cat. But he always looks and dreams about being outside. And if we're carrying groceries in, it would try to dart out and just go up there, and then it would get lost and stupid, and we'd have to go find it because it couldn't find its way home. And it's like, if we gave it what it wanted, it wouldn't survive. You know, we're relating. God says, I have you protected. I have you where I want you. And it may not be the freedom you dream of, but you don't want the freedom. You don't want out there. You're safe here. You know, our second dumb cat, it's fed and watered and loved on. This thing is treated like a baby and carried around like a baby. And they might as well put a bib and just start feeding it food type thing. This bait cat is so spoiled and so loved on. But sometimes all it sees is out there. That's what I want most of all, is I want out there. And then it gets out there and it won't survive. And no one is going to baby this cat other than my daughters. No one's going to treat this cat the way that it ought to, except for my daughters. Out there, the big wild, it's going to get chomped on because it is dumb. But where's the same way? God says, I kept you here. But all we can see is, I want out there. I want my freedom. I don't want to be confined in here. I want to do what I want to do. We don't realize that's the most dangerous spot we could ever be at. We're safe and protected. And God knows what he's doing. And you know what happens? That sheep escaped enough times and just went up there that God says, listen, leave him alone. He's turned to his eye. He got what he wanted. Leave him alone. My daughter does not know how close I was to saying that about that cat. It got what it wanted. Leave it alone. We're not chasing after it. Because that stupid cat would always plan right before church. I don't have time to go look for a cat right before church. We need to get there. And it would plan those times. Finally, you know, just leave it alone. We're done. It got what it's wanted. We'll see how it likes it. I told you at the beginning, that's one of the scariest statements that's found in the Bible. Ephraim has turned to his idols. Let him alone. They got what they wanted. They didn't want my protection. They didn't want my care. They didn't want my rules. By the way, God's rules are not grievous. They're walls of protection to keep us safe. I don't want this. I don't want God to tell me what to do. I want my own thing. You say that enough, God says, all right, you got it. Leave him alone. And then we wonder, with the freedom that we have, when we suffer, wonder where the protection is, wonder why God has removed his blessing, wonder why things are falling apart, wondering why the sin is no longer so sweet. Now we're surrounded by consequences because of our sin. Ephraim has turned to his idols. Leave him alone. By the way, as we have looked at Hosea, when that statement is said, it's not one of anger. It's one with tears and grief. They got what they wanted. Let him alone. We'll wait for them to come back to me. By the way, at any time, that stupid cat can make its way back. And we'd let him back in. At any time, that sheep that's lost could find its way back and God would take it back in. You see, this isn't one without hope. It's one that says the choice is up to them. At any time, they can come back. And you know what would happen when they come back? Let me tell you what would happen in my house. That cat left, weeping and gnashing of teeth. No one would sleep in our house. There'd be mourning and wailing. That cat came back. There would be rejoicing. They'd be breaking out that fatted calf. They'd have a party and a celebration. There'd be pictures. I'd be getting calls. They're back, they're back. God would rejoice too. They're back. They're back. They're safe. I've got them where I wanted to. You see, there's still hope here. Leave them alone. But if they come back, we're letting them come. We have a brokenhearted God who watches his people, who he loves, wander away and fight to get our own way. Fight for our freedom. Fight to be free of God. And then everything crashes and burns and God's brokenhearted. And he says, that's what you wanted. That's what you wanted. There's no such thing as running away from God and having God remove the consequences. But there is coming back to God and going back to his protection and letting him heal, letting us fix, letting us demange us, and putting us back to an exalted position where he loves us and protects us. Let me tell you, the scariest verse in the Bible here is this one. Ephraim has joined to his idols. Let him alone. Don't get outside the fence. Don't get outside God's protection. Stay close to him. Let him guard and protect you. Let him give you the instructions you need to thrive and receive his blessing. And if you are away from him, come home. Come home. He'll take you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give us grace and that you'd give us mercy. Lord, that you would help us to stay close to you. And if anyone has found themselves wandered away, let them come home. For anyone who's looking outside that fence and wondering if it's better out there, it's not. Help us to be satisfied with you and be satisfied with the blessings you provide for us in your protections. Lord, I'm asking that you would use us to make sure that we're awake and understand where we're at and that we could follow after you. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. 6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.